Welcome to Love Your Life Now. My name is Sonja Sophie, and today I'm here once again with my wonderful friend and Kundalini Yoga master,
Christina Sergun Powers. Teacher, not master.
She's a master in my eyes, and we have to recognize the mastery in other people from time to time. So
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so today it's just the two of us. We have one of our friends, Sabine, recovering from an accident. So she is at home and healing her wounds, and we are sending out much love and light to her. And then Tina is still traveling. So between the two of us, we thought today we touch on a topic that is something that we're all dealing with one way or another at one time or another, and that would be in the area of a relationship that is shattered, broken, it's messed up in some way. There are feelings of maybe guilt, resentment, abandonment, anger, you know, all those things on one side or the other or both. And what do we do with that? How do we heal that? How do we deal with that? Can we heal that? So those are the types of questions we're going to look at in the next 20 minutes, and we hope that you'll be listening closely, because this is deep stuff.
Yeah, and I want to say it's not anything that anybody likes to suddenly take a look at and go, hey, what relationship am I feeling traumatized, abandoned, neglected, am I feeling manipulated? It just suddenly, and this, you know, is in a personal nature, it pops up unexpectedly. And if we do not work and heal that emotional wound from our past, from our childhood is really where it stems from, what I'm understanding and what I've learned, then it keeps happening again and again and again to a point where the universe says it's exposed and it has to be healed, because it's not going to close up. I'm not going to put the scar on it again. It's exposed, and we keep brushing up against it. And it can feel maddening, because you want to maybe forget it. You want to let it go, because you're an adult who's reasonable and rational and you understand, you know, let things go. But the mind doesn't. Or doesn't know how to let it go, because it's not healed. It's not healed emotionally in the body.
Exactly. So as long as the body has that memory, and you were actually mentioning that in Kundalini Yoga class, the body might still remember things that mm-hmm. the mind has already forgotten, but it's stored somewhere. So yeah. Whenever it there is a wound that has never been dealt with, yeah, it's going to fester, it's going to grow, and at some point it's going to break open, and it's going to stay there until we deal with it. And you mentioned a good point, which is intellectually knowing, recognizing, even intellectually discussing it is not healing it.
Right.
And we a lot of times, especially intelligent women, we like to think that when we have intellectually worked through a problem and we've understood what the problem is, what the patterns are, who the culprit is, all of those things, that we have dealt with it and that therefore it is done with. And yeah, it's not the case.
Right. So our brain can suddenly rationalize and compartmentalize and know all of that stuff. And then an emotional trigger happens, which is a sight, a smell, a sound, something, an experience that brings it up in the body. And you're suddenly back at your childhood phase or your teenage phase, feeling very emotional, very confused and lost, and to a point where you don't know what to do, because that it's not healed. You go back, you literally go back in time to that moment where you felt lost and confused, abandoned, and did not know what to do.
And what's happening inside the brain, particularly with your neurons firing, is that it goes straight back to that place and it starts firing, or as we like to often use this replaying a tape analogy, so it starts firing exactly the same way as it had when we were a 3-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 13-year-old, and some type of relationship issue happened, usually has to do with a parent or someone in the family or a close friend. Obviously, it would not be a romantic relationship most of the time. And we had to deal with it very differently then, because we were the child and we had limited resources, you know, limited authority. And so in that moment, if the emotional trigger comes, the same tape is played and we actually go back dealing with the issue from a place of lesser authority, mm-hmm. Lesser maturity, and more chaos and trauma, and more being more a lot more scared about what's going to happen, because that's what we become as children when these types of relationship issues happen. We just become really scared. What is this?
Or powerless.
And powerless. Yeah, all of that.
Yeah, and today the meditation that I taught, it's for stress and shock and trauma, and it doesn't just work with what we're dealing with presently, it goes back into the past. So, you know, the way mantra works, the way this yoga works, is that it opens up all the capacities within you, in your infinite self, your finite self. So you don't have to think so hard on what you're going to do.
Yes.
You are just opened up to the universe to put yourself into those positions where you can heal something, and then within the body, within the brain, you have the ability to actually heal it, to let go of it without, like you said, intellectualizing, thinking of how am I going to do this, what are my strategies, what's my plan. You don't need a strategy, you don't need a plan.
And yet that sounds like, really? I don't need a strategy, I don't need a plan. So then what do I do? So this is the million-dollar question. What do we do when this comes up? One thing is for us to really understand, not only intellectually, but really deeply understand, okay, if there's a person out there that drives me crazy, because there was a deep relationship, either it was it's someone from the family, or maybe it is a romantic relationship, or a best friend of the same gender, or whatever that may be, and now I'm feeling really hurt by this relationship. Something happened, and all of a sudden the relationship doesn't work out anymore, and it's a breakup, or maybe it's a, you know, you're not my son anymore, you're not my, you know, I don't know you, and whatever that may be. What do we do then? And the number one thing to realize is, or to recognize is, okay, the other person is not the actual problem.
Mm-hmm.
The other person is not the actual issue, but it is something in me that I am perceiving or interpreting wrongly. You know, everything that I see, I have to interpret it. Everything that I'm perceiving is being interpreted by my mind. It's meaning this, or it's meaning that, mm-hmm. whatever it's meaning, right? So when we get to the place where all of a sudden we hate someone, or maybe we still love them, but we hate them at this, or whatever that is, or we just can't talk to them anymore, we don't know why, every time we end up in a fight, it's because what we're perceiving is wrong. And it's funny that you kind of picked this topic for today, because I'm now reading, finally, A Course in Miracles. And parallel, I'm reading Marianne Williamson's A Return to Love, which is her reflections on A Course in Miracles, because it's quite a read. And there, the two things that jumped out so far were sin. There is no sin, mm-hmm. It says in the Course in Miracles, there is no sin, because sin is just a lack of love. And my example as a health and nutrition coach would be, yes, because gluttony, who does that hurt? It doesn't hurt the other people who now aren't getting enough to eat because you're eating all of it. No, right? You're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. And anyone who really loves themselves would never do that to themselves.
Right.
So this sin, gluttony, is Yes, it's just a lack of love. So how do we heal it?
How do we heal this lack of love?
Yeah. How do we heal it?
Through taking care of the body.
Also, but we take care of the body when we add some love back in. See, sometimes the easiest answers, okay, the most obvious answers are the right answers sometimes, right? So we add some love back in. So when we're now looking at the relationship, and so here's where we can start. Now, everything that I'm now thinking about the other person, so I'm not talking about a romantic love. So this is particularly hard in a romantic relationship. Mm-hmm. Because the first thing that comes up is that romantic love. We're thinking about hugging, being together, all those things, and we don't want to do that anymore. Or maybe we do, but the other person doesn't want to. But when we're looking at, okay, the universal love, which includes the love for myself. So by maybe by being around this person too much, am I really loving on myself? Maybe I need to remove myself a little bit more, maybe more often, right? Maybe that's loving myself a little bit more. Am I throwing all the things at the other person and saying that they are not love? Oh, they are this. Am I throwing all the bad things at them and making them wrong about everything? Am I doing that? What am I doing? Where is this lack of love that where I can bring some love in, where I'm perceiving the situation wrongly? So that's the one thing about the course. And it's hard to do when you're reading the course. You can somewhat understand it, although sometimes you think you don't understand whatever's in there, but there's a level at the body that says, okay, I think I get it.
Yeah, because right? I'm wondering, just as you're saying that, because again, intellectually, all of that stuff makes absolute sense as you're saying it. And I wonder if, you know, as we're in that part of what do I do, what can I do to love myself, add love in where, maybe I'm working on my body, maybe I'm eating better, maybe I'm reading more, improving myself. But am I doing this so that I can be loved by that other person because I'm not worthy enough to be loved by them yet?
Can you get locked
into that cycle?
Ooh, ouch, yeah, exactly. That's taking it completely the intellectual ego way that isn't the right way. That isn't the way that's going to get you to where you really want to go, which is resolve the issue, resolve the emotion. Yes.
Because then when you get rejected or you don't get the result that you want, what do? You go right back into the part that's the unlovable or the person that lacks love. And you're just you don't have a motivation to do those things because the real reason you were doing it is so that you would be lovable, not that you love
so
yourself,
now,
right?
Now, yes, and now we got to throw this word in, unconditional.
Uh-huh.
So loving without expecting anything back.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah, I think we have. Mm-hmm. And so extending love to everyone, and so this is what the big teachers did, right? The Jesus and the Buddha and all of, and the sages and the prophets, what they are extending love, and it doesn't matter to them if you love them back or if you kill them. Because they're just extending love and they're seeing through the veil of that the ego kind of has created, the veil of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now this is all very high, up there stuff. And how does it help us now in this situation where we're dealing with a situation where there are two people that just somehow can't get together? What do we do? So here's the next thing, the other thing that's coming from that we all know. And I was reading in Marianne Williamson's book, Return to Love, just yesterday, the one part, and I was like, oh, great. I was waiting for that, which is about forgiveness and looking at forgiveness not as... So we can forgive someone from a level of looking down on them almost and saying, yeah, you did this wrong, but I'm going to forgive you that you did this wrong thing. But it was still a wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
As far as... The Course in Miracles describes it. If you want to start having miracles happen in your life, actually, number one, you just ask for them. That it's supposed to be as easy as that. So I'm working on practicing that. But the other thing is that the forgiveness means, number one, you realize if there is no actual sin, that means there in reality there isn't anything to
forgive.
But
they did wrong. They didn't do
exactly,
anything wrong.
Exactly, right? So they didn't do anything wrong. So there isn't really anything to forgive. However, we have to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where our perception again comes into play. And we have to, when we do forgiveness, what we're supposed to just remember about the past is all the love, everything that you ever did from a loving place, everything that you ever received from a loving place. Those are the things to remember, because those are the only things that are real, and everything else is just an illusion, because it was just that we perceived it wrongly. And how often do we have it where after some kind of a big crash, we come back together, we have a conversation, everybody finally gets to say their part of the story, and then we say, oh, that's what you, oh, okay, right? Oh, so you didn't even mean it the bad way that I took it, right?
Right.
So that's kind of a little bit of a reflection of what that is supposed to mean, just on a bigger scale.
But the reality is, when the healing is happening, we don't have to know the particulars of the what or the why that happened, because that's really unimportant. Because
exactly.
Then those what or why, it really, you know, in our ego self, in our finite self, it makes it right or wrong, so we can justify it. But what about the situations where you feel like you've let go, you've said, oh, I understand that person had a life, and you know, they didn't make decisions that were right or wrong, they just made the best decisions they could, and they showed up, and you know, maybe people got hurt along the way, but they didn't mean to, they didn't intend to, that's just what happened, that's life. And moving on, you know, I'm speaking personally,
yeah,
right? But then, you know, here's this wound that's been opened wide for me, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it.
Good. So recognize that the wound is in you.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with anybody out there. Does that make sense? The wound is your wound, and it's your wound only. And in reality, it's only a perceived wound,
mm-hmm.
because there is a lack of love or a lack of forgiveness, which you are responsible for. And as I'm saying that, I'm, you know, fully aware that that is much easier said than done, and not that I'm a master of doing any of these. I've been just reading for the last couple of weeks, about 3 weeks or so, intently every day, and just, okay, this makes sense on some level, but how do I apply that? But if we stay in the space of continuously reminding ourselves of that, so as you mentioned in the very beginning, reading the right books that support us in that process, I find is very important.
It's the wisdom. I mean, that's, you know, that's goes throughout all the ages. Find your wisdom, whatever that is.
Keeping you in the space.
You know, whatever that is, the wisdom, and it's going to open you up. And that is so absolutely true when you cut yourself off from that.
Right?
You know, your mind closes up.
That's where we go. We go into the mind.
And it's not to say that that is the be-all, the end-all, that that book is the only right way.
No.
But it opens your mind up to a lot of things. So thank you for saying that, because I've been slowly making my way through the placebo effect, and I had a opening, but the last few weeks it's been closed, so that's good. I'm going to remind me to go back to that and help my wisdom centers open
exactly up. It doesn't matter what you read, and I'm not saying you must read only this book, but what I'm saying is I've actually been really reading like a maniac for the last 2 months. I'm like going through books.
I noticed that. You keep telling me every other week. It's like, I got this new book you have to read. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even catch up with the one you gave me.
And so it's, but I've really noticed that that's really, really helping me stay in the space where all of these things that we are working on to be, you know, the better person, to have more love for ourselves first, mm-hmm. and then therefore that's going to extend out to be less aggravated and to understand that things are going to be okay, and understand it on an emotional level, so we, you know, we can just shut off the mind and just feel inner peace, no matter what's happening around us, even if things don't work out the way that we want it to, and all those things.
Like Dr. Wayne Dreyer says, he said, I always go to Tahiti. You know that line he says?
Does
he? He says it in another book where, you know, he gives an example when he's driving his kids to school and everybody's fighting about to get in the passenger seat. And he goes, I don't care. I'm going to Tahiti in my mind. You can be arguing all over the place.
Exactly. Exactly. So just remember to even just go back to the breath. Remember to just breathe in the moment. And we are running out of time already. Oh, my goodness. You know, I think... this is a topic, and that's a huge topic. We couldn't give it any justice in 20 minutes. So let's get back to that next week. A few things are going to happen. I'm also going to work on some relationship things actually 2 weeks from now. So for the next 2 or 3 weeks, let's stick with this topic. And listeners, please, if you want to email any one of us, or you know our cell phone numbers, you can send us a text message or go on the website or anything. If you have questions or input or anything about this particular topic, the relationship and the healing of the relationship and of ourselves, please, we want to know, and we want to be in touch with you. We want this to be so valuable for you, and we want to know what's the most valuable thing that we could give you next week on this topic. And with that, we are hoping that maybe you'll pick up a book between now and next Friday, and make sure that it's a book on love, happiness, joy, something like that, because we want to make sure that you love your life
now.
See you next week.